guys, it's Colleen. I just wanted to let you know before you started that this episode was recorded on Wednesday evening. There's clearly been, it's now Friday morning, some more updates in the race. It looks like, as of right now, that Biden is in the lead with 4 million more votes than Trump, which is the highest vote share that any challenger since FDR won in 1932. And it looks like with Georgia and Pennsylvania flipping overnight and early this morning, rather, that the electoral victory for Biden will be 306 to 222, which is, of course, Trump won by that margin in 2016. And he will be the first, hopefully, we are hours away from this race being officially called, but he will be the first president to lose re-election in 28 years. So even though there are things that we mentioned this episode that we're down about, it's always good to look at the positives. So hope everyone has a great weekend, and we'll see you next week for a new episode.
Mayday, bitches.
Hello and welcome to the broadcast with Amanda, Shandy, and Colleen. My name is Colleen.
My name is Amanda.
And I'm Shandy.
Welcome to the show, everybody. This is season 5, episode 17, episode number 197. We are inching closer to 200. How's it going, guys? This is our annual Election Day show. Are we feeling raw like the meat? Are we feeling raw like Katy Perry? Or are we somewhere like, you know, in between, like a medium rare or something? How we doing?
Feeling like a giant ball of anxiety.
Yeah.
We're in the weird in-between place, I think.
We are in the weird in-between place. Yeah, we are. I don't want to say that I'm feeling raw like Katy Perry, although the election certainly does, as of recording this on Wednesday night, it does look, you know, like Joe Biden has way more paths to electoral victory. Pennsylvania.
But he could still lose.
And
he's killing it in the popular vote. But we all know.
We all know
that that's not really.
Yeah, we all know that doesn't really matter.
We all know that the barometer it should be.
The popular vote doesn't seem to favor the Democrats.
Exactly. Because
we're the only ones that win a majority of the country multiple times and still lose. So
exactly. Yeah. Well, we'll get to that. I don't know. So I'm not feeling raw, W-A-R-A-W, like I was in 2016, but I'm not feeling, I think I listened to The New Abnormal today, and I think that they put it the best. It's 2020, so Democrats can win the presidency and still feel like complete and utter shit about it.
Yeah, I mean, I think like when you, again, we don't know yet, and I want to really stress that because I really don't want to like jinx anything, so I'm going to like knock on wood and throw some salt over my shoulder.
Yeah.
Fucking do whatever, all the things. But no matter the outcome, when you see the actual turnout for people who actually went to their polling places and actually like selected Trump.
Yeah.
Again, after 4 years, after kids in cages, after no plan for the pandemic, after everything.
That is
profoundly disheartening. And yes. So even if Biden wins, that right there is a real letdown. And of course, the fact that, you know, those asshats like Lindsey Graham and Mitch McConnell could still be in power today. I mean, that's just fundamentally wrong. And I've been like talking myself off the ledge today, just like trying to put things into a bigger like historical context of like
71 and counting million people voted for Joe Biden, 67 million and counting people voted for Donald Trump. And that is it's wonderful that historic turnout, 71 million people for Biden, but it's a really tough pill to swallow that 67 million people in this country looked at all the things that Shandy just said and said, you know what? Sign me up for 4 more.
Yeah. Let's do 4 more years of that.
It's 67 million too many.
Yeah.
It really is.
And that's what I kept saying last night. Like, as I was looking at these states come in and all the numbers, it's like, I still can't believe that it's even one vote. Mm-hmm. And yet here it is, a super competitive race. Like, I still can't believe that. And I know that's what we said in 2016. And okay, people, refresh it, on whatever. 4 years later, they had their little experiment with quote unquote, you know, somebody who's not a politician.
Yeah.
And we saw mm-hmm. what that did. And to see what that does and mm-hmm. to see like the massive, sweeping, terrible changes that have come about in our country because of it, and to be like, yeah, that's still my dude.
Yeah, I'll sign up for 4 more years of that. And, well, and it's like, and the thing that like I keep circling back on is just the fact that last night he claimed victory and he's mm-hmm. been actively, I mean, he was undermining the electoral process
yep.
before election day. That's nothing new. But the fact that he is just so boldly, you know, it is mind-boggling that you can, it is dangerous. And the fact that you can still support that is, it just,
well,
yeah. No, and I think my question from the beginning has been, what will be rock bottom for Republicans? And I've said it before, I really thought that the kids in the cages would be the rock bottom, because that seems like a pretty rock bottom moment to me. And so it was amazing in not the worst way possible to see that that wasn't rock bottom for Republicans. You would then think that like the institution of democracy would maybe be rock bottom. But I think, honestly, I think for Republicans, maybe there is no, like for this current iteration of the Republican Party, it doesn't seem like there is a rock. Because if it's not forcibly separating families at the board, the pro-family, right, party, if it's not forcibly separating, you know, infants from their parents and inflicting lifelong trauma on them at our borders, mm-hmm. if that's not the rock bottom, then at least you would think, okay, well, they care about this country enough to care about the fact that we're a democracy and blah, blah, blah. No. Well,
so a couple,
like what Republicans have come out to say like, whoa, dude, hold up.
Well, there have been, I think the Secretary of State in Ohio, maybe, or somebody was like, when Trump was doing his shtick on Monday or Tuesday about the mail-in ballots, and he was just like, that's not how elections work. So there have been people here and there who have, you know, been like, chill the fuck out, dude. But like, again, I'm sure there's many factors. Don't give me the economic anxiety bullshit, because farmers were completely decimated in the tariff stuff and the trade war, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. they still apparently went for him. And like, so don't give me economic anxiety bullshit. Because we're in the middle of a fucking pandemic where we have historic unemployment, and nobody's life is better than it was a year ago, except if you're mm-hmm. a billionaire who exactly. has yeah. profited and still can't pay the people that work for you a living fucking wage. But like, unless you're them, nobody's life is really better. Like, it's just, you might have things personally, like to you, that are better, but like overall in the country, everybody is struggling right now in 2020. Mm-hmm. And if so, don't give me economic anxiety stuff, which I would have bought into which I did buy into in 2016, because I thought, okay, maybe people were like giving the non-politician a chance and they weren't engaged. Uh-huh. But that's not the case this year. I truly don't think mm-hmm. that's the case, because everybody's hurting, and all the people that are hurting the most, the people who are dying the most of COVID in the red states, still voted for Trump. They fell in line like good little Republican lapdogs. So it's not that. It's fuck the libs. It's being so miserable with your own life. For some people, it's being so miserable with your own life that your only mission is to make other people miserable because it makes you mm-hmm. feel good. I think that's a large part of it. We had we had a race for Mark Meadows' seat in North Carolina, and the Democrat candidate was a great candidate and would have really been a good person to represent North Carolina in the Senate. And he lost to a 25-year-old jackass who is like I don't know if he's full QAnon crazy, but he is definitely like your, what's his face, Jacob Wall crazy, right? Ben Shapiro kind of crazy. The first thing he said when the race was called for him wasn't a victory speech. He tweeted, cry more, lib.
Wow.
Cry more, lib. So remember, anybody out there who ended up voting for Trump and the Republicans, that's the kind of people that are going to represent your party moving forward, because we mm-hmm. wanted a complete repudiation of Trump last yeah. night. And we thought that enough people had had enough, that they were going to come out and they were going to tell him no more. And that just didn't happen. And that sucks. That yeah. sucks. But okay. So I don't think it's economic anxiety. I think that the conservative media machine really, really goes a long way, because the amount of propaganda we got in the last weeks mm-hmm. just with the Joe Biden's a socialist, the radical left is going to control him, and like talking to family members, they truly believe that Joe Biden was going to be controlled by the radical left and we were all going to be in socialism. Wow. Mm-hmm. They did. They were convinced mm-hmm. and there was nothing that you can anybody that I spoke to or read comments on Facebook from, you could not convince them of anything else. They truly thought, I've said before, I've seen people make comments on friends' Facebook pages arguing that Democrats truly are eating babies or they want to execute them after they're born.
Mm-hmm.
Like mm-hmm. non-college educated white people overwhelmingly went for Trump. They came out for him, and that's why we lost the Senate. And the Senate is actually the hardest thing for me to swallow right now, and I am definitely depressed about the Senate, because we only have one pathway there now, and it ends in us being in the Senate becoming a tie where Kamala breaks it if she is, you know, does win. And that is a hard pill to swallow yeah. to be down to literally one path. That we probably yeah. won't happen, because it would require Georgia going to a runoff for both of the election, for both of the Senate exactly. seats. And we would exactly. have to win both Georgia Senate seats, which will be tough in a runoff.
Yeah.
So the fact that Mitch McConnell, the fact that all of these people did such terrible things for 4 years and they got rewarded by being reelected, it just mm-hmm. sucks. There's no accountability.
No, there's not. And, you know, to continue off what you were saying, Colleen, it's like the misinformation. But I think, you know, to take it a step further, I think there is a large swath of the population that don't do their due diligence, and they literally get all their information from Facebook and Twitter, and they don't do their homework. And so it's like,
and conservative media,
they believe opinion as opposed to fact. And it's like, we don't value the fact that, you know, being able to vote and live in a democracy is a two-way street, and it does require you to show up and be an active participant. And we take that for granted. And this is, you know, this is what happens.
Yeah.
Well, and I mean, again, if they're, you know, non-college educated, it's fine if you don't go to college. But the problem mm-hmm. is then you're relying solely in an academic sense on your K-12 education, and the fact that we actively defund that in the United States mm-hmm. and provide shitty public education. Well, it's no wonder that these people then come out of it without critical thinking skills. And unfortunately, we don't emphasize, teach, or promote empathy as mm-hmm. like a national characteristic or something to cultivate.
Mm-hmm.
So then it leads to people again, like who will, yeah, mm-hmm. if they're getting sucked into what's being said in their bubble on Facebook, not thinking about it critically, have been told to hate other people, are putting into play, you know, simple principles of like scapegoating because they're struggling in their life, not because maybe the system has anything to do with it. It's because, you know, whatever, the liberals are actually going to help them out. That's the worst fucking problem. Part of the problem is like, oh my God, that part, I just don't even understand. But like, whatever, they're hanging on also, I mean, to their whiteness, to their white privilege.
Mm-hmm. And that's what their party is selling them.
And that's why, like, even in 2016, I mean, I know a lot of people said the economic thing, but I've never bought that. I think it's a convenient excuse. And I think maybe some people really did convince themselves of that on mm-hmm. like a surface level, just to like, I don't know, save face for actually voting for Trump. But I think that those people, if they were to dig a little bit deeper, I mean, it's been shown in research, and it, you know, it really bears out in actions, that there's a lot of racism and sexism involved in that vote. And so, yeah, it's, sure, you can tell yourself that it was the economy, but like, I see through you. I see through that.
And that's the thing. Yep,
that nice white, try.
That white privilege that so many refuse to acknowledge exists.
Right, exactly. And now to the point that, like, we can't even, you know, learn about that, like, in a professional setting, right, where the government is no longer allowed to do any sort of training that would have you think critically about race. Like, well, so there you go again.
Yeah. Sorry. Just the last tiny little thing that jumps off of this, that today I actually commuted into Midtown today. So I grabbed an old edition, the September issue of The Atlantic, because I bought Daniel a subscription to The Atlantic for his birthday. And it's like, I never read it because the articles are too long, but I grabbed it because my phone has low battery, like whatever. But long story short, I was reading an article written by Ibram X. Kendi. And essentially, he was talking about how, you know, if Trump has done anything good for this country, is that he has exposed how much racism is really just baked into American society in a way that we really just cannot deny anymore.
Totally.
You know, and he sort of compared it to where, you know, where we were in, you know, the 1850s as we were sort of gearing up to the Civil War, and how really this slavery ended because enough people saw it for what it was and was like, this needs to stop. Like, this can't continue. And he's like, that is the only way we're actually going to end racism in this country. Is that, like, during the Obama administration, most people genuinely thought we no longer had a race problem because they didn't have to acknowledge it. And through the past 4 years, we have had no choice but to really face it. And so the issue now becomes, okay, well, what are we going to do about it? Like, is this a tipping point, or does Biden win and we just go back into forgetting that, you know, racism is such a part of our country and such a part of what it is to be American? And it puts such a context on the day for me that I think in a weird way, this article helped me from, like, losing it today. It's like, okay, perspective. Oh, okay, good. Okay.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think there were even, like, for us, I remember posting in 2016 about, like, oh my God, America, I had no idea you're racist. And meanwhile, like, every single person of color is like, well, yeah, we did. So, like, even for like the white leftists, like, we needed a wake up call because we're guilty of it too.
Yeah.
But just like you said, so much of it that's baked into our country that we, you know, didn't even see before. So hopefully, I mean, I'm hopeful that it is a true awakening and reckoning. But again, like Colleen was saying, like, we were hoping for a bigger referendum on Trumpism and those values, and we haven't seen that yet. Then again, the other part of me is like, okay, maybe, again, need to be patient. And I'm trying to think, like, okay, like, I am this white lady who expects, like, okay, we endured 4 years of terribleness and it needs to change like that. But, like, you know, there's a lot of people that have been waiting and working for a long time for change. So
200 years, some would say.
Or 400 years.
400
even.
Years.
But yeah, so maybe it will take a little bit longer and maybe we need to put more work into it. But that doesn't mean, I mean, like, hope, like, if Trump is reelected, because we don't know the results yet, I think that's in a way, a point of no return for a lot of things. Because by the time we would figure out anything about race, like, the planet would already be destroyed. So, you know.
Right.
But if Biden is hopefully elected, then, yeah, I mean, it's just like the starting point to begin the rest of the work. And maybe the rest of the work, maybe those 67 million people who voted for Trump, that it's going to take more time.
You know, I think
it's definitely going to take more time, but at least we can hopefully start trying at least.
Well, yeah. And the bad news is it's now up to 68 million people. It's tightened in Arizona a little bit. It's all going to come down to Maricopa County, everybody.
Fucking damn it.
So anyway, don't freak out. He had a sizable lead beforehand. But yes, the racism, it was going to take a long time. But I think the problem was we were at a is that makes it so frustrating is that we're in a moment in time where people were more receptive to listening to racial issues in this country, to open their eyes more to the experience that people of color go through. Like, there was, you know, there was a lot more of an awakening on this for like social justice things, you know, this year. And I think that also played into many of us were like, finally, like, we're fine. This is the point where we can begin. Like, this is the point where people are going to keep this in mind when they go into the voting booths and they're going to, you know, place their votes accordingly. And now we can finally start to grow. But you know something? It turns out that that was just all bullshit. Because,
well, I don't think it was completely bullshit. I think
fair
some
enough,
did.
71 million people.
It wasn't as many as we would have hoped.
And I think the other frustration is that there are a lot of people who put up black squares on, what was it, June 2nd. And I think a lot of that, those, you know, it was probably a false sense of, I don't know what's going on.
I think there's still a fair amount of the population that is still at the performative phase and not at the phase of like, okay, I'm ready to get uncomfortable and actually do the work.
Yeah.
You know, I think posting a black square on your Instagram on your Instagram for one day is a really light lift that it's, you know, I think unfortunately there's a lot of people that aren't there yet. And that doesn't mean we shouldn't keep pushing and encouraging and give up the pressure. It just means it's like anything, it's just going to take longer than we want.
And the other thing that is actually really unfortunate news is that white women went for Trump, according to exit polling data. So this isn't final data, but they went for Trump, you know, by 62% in 2016. God. And they went for Trump. Early reports indicate that they went for Trump by 65% in 2020.
What the fuck?
That's terrible. I feel like what I saw yesterday was not saying that. That's really disappointing.
So this is on a CNN breakdown that came out a few hours ago. Again,
it's really disappointing.
Again, the New York Times one actually is different. The New York Times one has it broken down to, and this was, you know, from yesterday, 43% of women went for Trump, 49% of men, and out of those demographics, 57% were white and were white people for Trump, and 42% were for Biden. So they mean clearly there's definitely a bit of racism and nationalism and whatever else that goes into it. It's just really disappointing. And again, I know that a lot of conservatives don't like change. All the states in this, all the Senate races that we lost are states that Trump won. So people weren't splitting the ballot like we thought they would be doing.
Well, and I suppose that is the definition of a conservative, that they are leery of change.
Problem, we're divided. We knew we were divided. We thought that, you know, the pandemic, 213,000 and counting people dying, would have maybe broken things the other way, at least with the president, or maybe down ballot. And we did terribly down ballot as early, you know, we didn't flip state houses that we needed to. Like, the Republicans were told to come out and they came out. The Democrats did too. And there's more Democrats than Republicans in this country. But the problem is the way the Electoral College is broken up is.
Yeah.
It's just, it's really disheartening that people, so many people are so brainwashed. And I'm sorry, at this point, you're brainwashed. You don't live in a reality that is reality.
Yep.
68 million people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I would actually love for a Republican to explain to me why we should keep the Electoral College, because I feel like anyone who has any sort of like basic respect of democracy should look at that and be like, that's some bullshit.
Yeah.
But I haven't really seen, or maybe it's just that I don't know a lot of Republicans, but I don't seem to see them coming out saying that it is, you know, very obviously bullshit.
Yeah. I did see an argument
believe it's
on
bullshit.
Instagram today where they're like, well, it wouldn't be fair to the smaller states that like just New York and California would win everything and people wouldn't turn out to vote.
But like how?
But how is that not exactly what's happening right now in the reverse?
But I mean, the thing
is like counts less than,
right, exactly.
than a like voter there, in the middle of the country. Like, how is that fair?
Or if it's supposed to be one person, one vote, then if a bunch of people happen to live somewhere, then that concentration of votes will have a higher percentage because literally there are more people. Like, what are we trying to say here? Like, why should rural states with less population count more than places that happen to have bigger population? Isn't right, the whole point representing the people?
Right. And I think the thought is that it evens the playing field between higher populated area and lower populated area. But that's not actually what it's doing.
But people, like, when there are more people in an area, like, where there are more people, it should be represented.
Yes.
In consequence.
Yes. Right.
But you know,
exactly.
Because there are more people.
But, you know,
exactly.
we could argue this until the cows turn blue. But I think, you know, it's a way, the Electoral College is the way that Republicans maintain minority rule in this country.
Right.
They are minority.
Right, exactly.
But,
and then and came into existence because, like, so many things that are wrong with this country because of slavery.
Exactly. So I was going to say, like, going back
why it exists.
What you're saying about so much racism embedded in our culture. Again, like, if you're a Republican, you're going to defend that, then just be honest about it. Don't say that it's the economy.
And that's
like, please be upfront.
Well, and right. that's
okay, fine. So if we're going to keep the Electoral College, like, let's at least maybe split it instead of winner takes all. Like, it makes no sense to have like 28 electoral votes if they all go to the same person. If we can split those electoral votes, then maybe it's worth keeping. But even that, like, I am not
or
convinced
we can just,
that I agree with that statement.
Wait, we could just join the rest of, like, the actual civilized world and have one person, one vote.
Okay. We're getting way off topic here. We're starting to run long because we got a lot of other things to talk about with the election. But I will say, the Electoral College makes it so that Republicans can be so lazy that rather than reaching out to voters to grow voters instead of just scaring the shit out of a bunch of easily scared people, you know, maybe they could, I don't know, come on with platforms that attract people back to them versus, I don't know, running up the deficit when you want to give tax cuts to the rich people. Then suddenly worrying about fiscal conservatism when it comes time to helping people in need when there's a fucking pandemic and they can't work.
Mm-hmm. Colleen, it's called trickle-down economics and it totally works. How dare are you? Do your research on Fox News and you'll just know. Trickle-down economics works.
Hey, I did a PowerPoint on trickle-down economics several times when I was in school. Middle school and high school. Oh, that was always like my go-to because it was always made. I would just update it with whatever specific information nice. The teacher wanted.
Also, like, I don't want your trickle. If
no.
you're because your trickle is like a couple of cents. So
right.
like, I don't want your trickle.
What it is. It's okay, a leaky faucet. It doesn't work. My faucet leaks. I get it fixed.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So anyway, yeah, the Senate bothers me because we won't get anything done if we don't have the majority. It'll be like
you know. Yep, and Colleen, I was
packing the court.
I was thinking about that too, and it is really depressing. And then I was trying to like put it in historical perspective, look on the bright side, see what I am thankful for, just to like keep my sanity. And I was thinking about okay. This is all very true and depressing. Yes. However, at least we will regain some credibility abroad. That means a lot. Repair some relationships that we seriously strained, if not broke, and hopefully didn't fully break. But that in and of itself is a lot. There will not be. Again, this is all like assuming if Joe Biden wins, you know, there won't be the tweets anymore. There won't be the chaos. There won't be like, although many things that we would like to see get done might not get done without having the Senate, at least the shitty things also won't get done. So, you know, like terrible policies won't be able to move forward in the same way. I mean, again, like, the Supreme Court is still terrible, and
we can't reform the courts without a Senate.
No, I get that, but like,
we can't pass the John Lewis Voting Rights Act. Like, we can't do that without the Senate. And I understand that there are 6 vulnerable senators up in 2022, so maybe in 2 years, and we, you know, take that fight there. But it's just disheartening. And I know that people didn't tune into us to be depressed for the last 30 minutes, and I'm sorry about that. I don't know.
Or maybe they did. I don't know. This is a weird, like...
I told you, we're like in cathartic. Between.
But also, it's like a time capsule when we still don't know the results.
Yeah.
So...
we're like true. In between
so
that.
Like, you all listening in the future...
yeah,
hopefully you're like, oh, you guys,
oh, you had nothing to worry about. That's what I hope.
That's what I'm really hoping. Yeah. That's really what I'm hoping you're all thinking right now.
Yeah.
So, all right, election night. Did you guys stay up? We stayed up till 1. I didn't start drinking until 10, actually, because I ate a half a bag of Mission chips and then made myself 2 batches of mozzarella sticks in the air fryer. 2.
That sounds like a great night.
Yeah.
Yes, sounds great.
Yeah.
I cannot stop thinking about mozzarella sticks. You brought it up on my day. I cannot stop thinking about it.
Oh, that's
and
my
next time
every...
I go grocery shopping, I need to figure out if I can get me some frozen mozzarella sticks because I don't think they sell them at our crunchy co-op.
Probably not. Probably not.
Yeah, I'm going to have to figure out. Maybe Walgreens sells them. I don't know.
Oh, maybe. Probably. I could see that. I could totally see that.
Yeah. But yeah, they were delicious. They were delicious.
Oh, I bet they were.
Yeah. The first time Jay was awake and then he had dozed off and you know, he woke up and he was like, and he was like, what did you make? And I was like, oh, I think he was asleep both times. I was like, mozzarella sticks? He was like, oh. And I was like, twice.
No shame. No shame in that game.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. But... no, I went to bed at 10 o'clock.
Oh, that was smart.
I was feeling like some self-care was probably really good. And I just wasn't feeling terribly masochistic. You know, we all knew that
we weren't gonna have
there results. Were going to be no results. We all knew that day of... votes were going to be counted first so that there was a good chance that Trump was going to pull ahead at first and we were going to catch up later. Yes, it was like worst case scenario and definitely worse than we were hoping. But like it's still kind of within the realm of what we were warned would happen. And I was just like, I will catch up in the morning. I need to go to bed.
I know. I just really wanted, I wanted everybody to overwhelmingly be like,
I know.
Oh, I did too. I did too.
That would have been very satisfying. No, I watched until about 9:30, which to be fair is 12:30 East Coast time. And then that's usually my bedtime. And I like at that point it was like, we're not really going to get anything more tonight. Yeah. So I was like, fuck this. I went to bed. I like read for a while and was able to sort of like calm down and actually fall asleep. But I woke up very anxious at about 2 o'clock, 2:30 in the morning.
Mm.
And couldn't not go downstairs and check my phone to see how things were. And at that point, the map was not looking great. It had not moved in the way that I had hoped that it had moved in the last, you know, in the previous 5 hours.
Yeah.
So I went back to bed. It took me like 2 hours to fall asleep again because I was so just like couldn't calm. I, you know, just like really anxious and worried and stressed. Mm. Finally slept for like a couple more hours and woke up. So Frank got up with me and he was like kind of watching all day. And then I was, you know, like checking. But I, in the morning, actually, when I finally woke up after my 2:30 escapade, Wisconsin and Michigan were starting to lean blue. So like that helped a lot. But then, yeah, it's been a day. It's been more than 24 hours. And like, again, I'm not complaining that it's taking so long because that's fine and they have to count and that's good. And this is how the process should be working. But Jesus Christ, is this a stressful election? I can't believe, like, I don't know about you guys. I don't know how into politics and stuff you guys were when we were in high school. But, like, I am so thankful that it was, like, just before I would have really been, like, following closely. I followed the election, but not as closely as this. Plus, like, internet, you know, it wasn't really a thing very much. Yeah, but, like, yeah. I can't imagine having the Bush-Gore election right now just because of how long that went on. Mm-hmm. But also, it wasn't as, it wasn't consequential in the same way. Although I've been thinking about the Bush v. Gore a lot.
The Bush v. Gore, that completely changed the direction of the country as we know it.
I'm just thinking that, like, you know, Bush isn't as terrible as Trump and whatever. But, like, I have been thinking about that election a lot because exactly, like, can you imagine? Mm-hmm. First of all, I mean, Gore, like, who knows how he would have reacted to 9/11, but I don't think he would have started a war based on weapons of mass destruction that didn't exist.
Right.
And also, can you imagine a world where in the year 2000 you have somebody in the White House who is sincerely informed about and concerned about climate change 20 years ago?
Well, not something that I've been thinking a lot about. Like,
yeah, no, it's just like we would have been a world leader in climate change, and we would have 20 years, you know, 20 years of a running start on this. It's wild. But yeah, even just like there are people who are deployed now who, like, maybe they would never have been deployed. Mm-hmm. If Gore was elected. It's wild.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Yeah. How is everybody feeling now on a scale of like roar to roar? Raw to roar.
I mean, still just like a ball of stress.
I'm feeling a meow.
Meow. I thought about that too. I thought about that too. Because I was like, am I going to go with a cat analogy or am I going to go with a food analogy? And like,
no. I'm feeling like medium rare. Like,
I am medium rare too.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
I forgot.
I might be like, sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, speaking of cat analogies, when I couldn't sleep this morning, Gabby came and cuddled with me. And of course, and this is like new for her for like an hour, but like hardcore cat cuddle. And then I was flashing back to 2016 when she comforted me like pretty hardcore, like when the election was looking very, you know, certainly going to Trump. So then, of course, there's this part of my brain that's like, oh, my God, does she somehow know? Which obviously I understand that she doesn't know. It's just these are the places our minds go when we're tired and stressed after 4 years of a Trump presidency. I hear you.
And you know, it's not all bad news. There were some good things that happened. There were a lot of new progressives that were, voted. Cori Bush, Jamal Bowman. So we did add to like the squad's little caucus that they've got going on there.
Yep.
So
the squad was all reelected.
They were all reelected. I mean,
yeah.
So
we're sending an astronaut to the Senate.
Yeah. Hell yeah, we are.
But like, he's got a good lead at this point. He has enough of a lead that I feel confident in saying we are sending an astronaut to the Senate.
Yep. So that's good. I mean, we spent so much time being doom and gloom, and I do apologize for that. But, like, there were some good things. Maurice Turner became the first non-binary state legislature and first Muslim lawmaker in Oklahoma history, which is great.
New Mexico is sending an entirely female delegation.
Oh!
Both senators and congressperson. All women and all women of color.
That's...
Wow. That's
pretty great. So that's a real step in the right direction.
So I'm assuming New Mexico went blue.
It did.
Yeah, it did, yes. Yeah. So many of the awesome things that I got to vote on in California did not go my way, which is depressing. But we are going to be letting convicted felons on parole vote. So I'm very happy about that.
Oh, great.
What else? I think that's like the only thing, honestly, in California. But in Montana, they legalized marijuana across the board. It used to be just medical marijuana. And actually, my stepsister and her boyfriend, or husband, actually, have a medical marijuana business, like a marijuana business. But obviously, they could only sell to people with medical cards.
Yeah.
And so now, I mean, the fact that they're already they already have the store, like it's already in place. Now it's going to be legal to sell to everyone. I'm like, this is really good news for Montanans at large, but also like for them in particular.
Yeah.
So, oh, that's great. Cool.
Oh man, I'm so sorry, John, if you're listening. Like, I was really hoping that you guys could flip Texas so you could legalize weed.
I know.
I was pulling for you guys. that was one of my first.
It was looking good for a bit. It really was like the fact that like Texas was even in the toss up category for a bit. I think we can take that as a small victory, and I think we should.
Yes.
And I will say, like, you don't necessarily need to flip a state for them to legalize marijuana. Like, Montana is very red. What you need is either to flip the state or to have a strong libertarian presence and mindset of like, okay, maybe we're not going to like go on a limb for like a woman's right to choose, but we will put our foot down at the government getting into our business with smoking pot. You know, it's that, that sort of attitude can do it too.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Richie Torres was elected to Congress. He's the first openly gay Afro-Latino member.
That's cool.
So that's exciting. Yep. Nevada has become the first state in the nation to protect same-sex marriage in its constitution.
I saw that. Good job, really, Nevada.
Really warmed the heart.
Yes. So that actually gives me hope that Nevada will stay for Biden.
I know. It's so, but you know, something closer than I would like.
Florida, though, and this just goes to like that whole mentality, like, they voted to raise the minimum wage to $15, but they still went for Trump by a decent amount.
That's confusing, but I guess.
Well, yeah, it's because it's
at least there's one good thing.
It's just, it's, you know, it's like, this is going to benefit me, but I think a lot of it is like the socialism thing, like that really the conservative media really like, and it's worse than Fox News. It's worse. Like, Fox is just like a gateway. Like, Fox is marijuana.
No, that's valid. This is a great analogy. Keep going.
And like, Breitbart is like slipping some Molly, but like it gets even worse. Like it's really like, it's really bad, because the Epic Times, which is like this new it thing in conservative media, like they have physical papers. They actually dropped one off in my mailbox last week. And the thing that's scary about the Epoch Times, EPOCH, is it's pure propaganda. It's all of the fucking crazy of the crazy things, like the China virus, the babies being eaten, like it's the crazy shit. And they're leaving this newsletter like for free in, you know, neighborhoods that are more susceptible to scare tactics. And like, this is the kind of shit that's, I think, really scared people away from voting for Biden, because they just want to open the economy again. And because I was listening to, I forget what it was. It was something on SiriusXM. It was either NPR or MSNBC or one of the news stations. I'm not sure which. But there was a woman that was on, and she was writing an article. She was researching. She was talking about like what happened in Texas and in South Florida. Why did Latinx voters, you know, why did they slip so much for Biden? And part of it is they don't feel that the party, you know, really welcomes them as much as they should, as we talked about with the DNC convention, that, you know, their AOC was the only Latina that spoke there. So there's partly that, but it's also partly they were hit very hard with the lockdowns. They're in industries, they own small businesses, or they own businesses that were hit by the pandemic. And Trump is out there screaming about how Biden's going to lock the country down for another year and he's going to keep it open. And this was just one of the things that they was mentioned in that. And I'm sure there'll be more information in the coming days why certain demographics and groups, you know, went for Trump unexpectedly. Because, of course, Latin voters are not a monolith. And also, maybe we'll find out what happened with white women, because I thought that, you know, I thought suburban women weren't going for him. So I don't know. It's very infuriating. But anyway, so like Fox is like marijuana, and like it because it just leads to, because even the conspiracy theories, like the normal conspiracy theories this year, like Hunter Biden's laptop, like that really wasn't like as big of a hit on Fox, I don't think, as they thought it would be, because they needed like a deeper fix of like crazier conspiracy theory, and like they needed to like take it to the next level beyond like but Hunter's emails wasn't the same as but her emails, because now they needed like, you know, something that was just even crazier and like deeper, because they're just chasing the high of like the Democrats are evil. And like Margaret was saying in PO,
can't end season two the same way it ended you season can't. One.
Yeah, you just can't. And hopefully,
gotta up the ante.
Hopefully,
it's like, why do we keep going back to the emails? What is our fear of computers?
Yeah, I don't know.
Just... And but his emails just doesn't have the same ring to it as but it her emails.
Yeah.
Right? There's just cool. something about that one that's different.
Yeah. But anyway, I mean, whatever. There was.
But his emails. But I'm a dude and I have emails. Wait a minute. I don't know how to check all my emails. Oh, maybe this is not fair.
Quick, turn to the page about the meaning babies.
Right. Too close to home. Too close to home.
I don't eat babies.
Right. I don't know anyone that eats babies.
It must be the Democrats. I don't know any Democrats. Yeah. We are so divided, and it's just really sad. Because I don't know where we move forward. Like, maybe they will work with Biden, because he's an old white dude who had worked with them in the past. So I don't know. Maybe we get at the very least the Heroes Act passed. Like, maybe, you know, maybe pandemic relief finally goes through, right? Like, maybe we, mm-hmm. we start slowly with something, just because yeah. more people are willing to flip. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Even just not getting worse for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, it kind of sucks. But even if we just tread water.
Just hold the line.
Hold the line. That would be better.
I don't want
to
hold the line.
To continue to backslide. I mean, yes, no one wants. I don't want to do it either. But I would much rather that than 4 more years of just a bottomless pit of despair.
Right. With no
end in sight. With no impunity.
With no stopgap.
With no impunity, but also with no actual moral rock bottom.
I don't know. I don't expect it to get better, because there's just so much, like, every little thing they will scream socialism, and it's just it's going to be annoying. But buckle down, because we got to focus on 2022 now.
But it would be interesting to see. Again, I think, like, I agree with you, Colleen, that there's so much of the feeling of just like purposefully doing the opposite of what any Democrat wants to do just out of spite.
Right.
Hopefully they can grow the fuck up, but also
they're not going to. No.
Also, like, maybe if they don't have like drunk Uncle Trump behind them,
he's still going to be tweeting. They're not going to take his phone away.
Yeah. But he won't have quite the same power.
I mean, unless he, you know,
that's true. I mean,
arrested on any of the multitude of illegal things that he has done in the past 4 years, nay, 40 years. All the illegal things he has done over the course of his life.
Yeah.
Please pick one.
I know. I know. All right. So we agree. Medium rare is kind of where 2 out of 3 broads fall. Cool. Lock it down. All right. Moving on real quick from this, because I know we could probably have a million discussions going, but we have been doing this for 51 minutes. we in the Jay and Jack group, we did a candy brackets, best of Halloween candy, which was Dennis, made the thing up for us. And it was inspired by the broadcast episode we did like a month ago that talked about best Halloween candy. And Reese's Peanut Butter Cups won, no surprise. I did have a shocking thing happen in my house this week. Guess what Zachary Glatfelter has declared to be his favorite candy of all time? Dots.
Oh.
Dots. He loves the F out of dots.
Oh, that's... Man.
Loves
well,
it.
If you ever get a multi-pack, you can have them all.
Well, and that's the thing is, we got the... Because... I love Tootsie Rolls. And when Jay and Zach went to get the candy, they got a thing, a big thing of like the Tootsie Roll, like, you know, things, and it has dots in it. And I was like, well, at least somebody's eating them and they're not going to go to waste. But like, yeah, dots. Yeah. Every day when he can come home and pick his piece of candy, he's like, I just love dots. They're just so good.
There's a lid to every pot, I suppose.
Yeah. So, anyway. Oh,
can you hear Daniel laughing?
I could, but that's okay. It just sounded like Shandy had a demon laugh.
It's delightful. You got the loudest laugh.
At first, I thought it was Jay, like, recording in the other room or something.
No, but, Daniel. I don't know what he's doing, but, like, it's just...
But it's hilarious.
When he just gets a giggle, it's just all-consuming.
Let's take a quick commercial break, and then we'll come back and we'll do some feedback. All right, we are back, and it is time for some feedback. Maggie said the ad at the end of the show on my feed was for a Diva Cup.
Nice.
Amazing.
Jessica said, I hope this time when I listen to this election reaction podcast, it's good news and not like 4 years ago when I listened to the election reaction podcast and I cried along with you all. I'm really sorry that we were so down, or at least I was so down earlier on.
Well, and again, depending on what the definitive news is, it's killing me.
Yeah.
I know. Sorry, Jess. I feel bad. I was so down, and like I feel like I was negative and might have turned people off. I'm real sorry.
It's realistic. You
know. Yeah.
It's not all good.
No. And to be fair, we were all very down 4 years ago. It wasn't just you. You don't have to carry that.
True. John said, anything to talk about tonight?
A few things.
Not at all. Scott Herrick said, cheer yourself up with a binge of I'll Be Gone in the Dark. I do. That is on my list. I did do Unsolved Mysteries in one day before. Weekend.
Nice.
Yeah. Well, there's only six episodes.
Different genre, but I did start watching Veronica Mars.
Yes!
Finally.
I cannot wait to hear when you finish it. God, maybe I should rewatch it. I love it so much. Season one.
Maybe I'll have to start. Now that I finished The Good Place, I feel like I need
More Kristen O'Dowd.
It's fun to see her in it.
A go-to thing. Yeah, so maybe that'll be it.
Yeah,
but it's fun. Yeah, it's fun to be with her again. It's fun to see, like, it's very early 2000s.
Her haircut. So far, her haircut is so 2000.
Oh my God! Yes. Yes.
Can't wait.
And the cell phones, the flip phones, love it.
Yeah.
Oh my God! Please tell me there's all sorts of Razr phones.
Oh hell yeah!
Is that the same as the ones you flip?
No, the Razr ones.
They were like the really flat flip phones, and they came in all the colors. They were like pink or blue.
Or red. The Razr phone was from the end of season 3 of Lost. We have to go back, Kate. Everybody was like, that's so weird. He's on a Razr phone, and that didn't come out until 2007. And this show takes place in 2004. And then it was like, it's a flash forward. Oh, my God. Sorry. That was a little bit of internet dorky trivia out there. Which I'm sure almost everyone listening to this show right now also, when they heard Amanda mention a Razr phone, immediately went to Jack. We have to go back. Sorry. The snake in the mailbox. Okay. I'm just throwing all the Lost people out there a bone. Jamie Joe said, I'd like to talk more about these mozzarella sticks. Well, I did.
Me too.
Yeah.
They were very delicious.
Sounds really good.
They were.
What sauce do you dip?
A marinara sauce. Gosh,
that's solid.
Yeah, I forget.
Marinara sauce. I like to add some ranch to it too. If I'm feeling in the mood.
Yeah, that's not bad. I like to do Frank's Red Hot Buffalo and ranch mixed together, or just buffalo and ranch in general.
Oh my God, buffalo on anything.
Yeah. But now I'm getting hungry again. Thank God I finished the box last night, because I would so go up there and make some right now. Real glad I did that. Rose says, I've been thinking about hashtag Corin linings. This may have come up on a previous pod, but I was wondering what everyone can say has been a benefit from our shift in socialization Quarantine linings, like silver linings. I get it now. And work habits.
Quarantine linings.
I was trying to read ahead to see if there was a definition of what this term meant, because it was the very first I've ever heard of it. I'm glad you figured that out. Thank you.
Kind of like when you taught me what maskne was. Mask acne. Yeah. Yeah. All sorts of new vocabulary this year. Benefit from our shift in socialization and work habits or lack thereof. One of my quarantine linings has been spending much more time outside and in all sorts of parks around Staten Island, albeit alone. Another one of my silver linings has been leaving work much earlier and actually having time to go to the supermarket or take care of something at home without leaving everything to the weekend. I just thought something other than election night might be fun to talk about.
Oh, I love this, Ro. Thank you. As always, just the very best.
So,
yeah, I guess not having 2 hours of commuting, like being home more to like cook more regularly. I feel like I spend a lot of time in my kitchen now and I'm not mad about it.
Mm. Nice. I like that.
Yeah, I've definitely explored my neighborhood in a way that I hadn't before. And there's this place in particular that's become like a really special place that I go to almost every day, sometimes twice a day. And I've sent you guys pictures of it before, but I think I talked about it on the podcast after RBG died, because it's like a natural altar at the end of this trail on a big rock, and people put stuff there, and there's been, and it like rotates and changes, and like, you know, like rocks and leaves and just like different things in nature, and there's been a permanent altar to RBG ever since she died, and it's changed forms every day, but there's still a piece of wood that says, "Rest in peace, RBG, and God help us all." And I went there yesterday kind of for good luck for the election, just to like clear my head. And it was pretty amazing because it's been growing. And then I look around me and there's this other like rock kind of like behind some other brush. And somebody had put a bottle of whiskey on that rock.
Love that.
And some oatmeal and a dollar bill. And I was just like, wow. And I know you're not supposed to feed the animals. And I 100% agree. Like, you know, it's very bad. But I love the oatmeal. And I saw a bird eating it today when I was there.
Oh.
It was just kind of magical. And I was like, I know they're not, like, they shouldn't become dependent on us. But I also kind of love this. I'm just gonna let it go and just love this.
I don't think
that would have happened if it wasn't for quarantine. So
I love the pictures of the altar that you show us.
Yeah,
you send them to us.
It brings me hope and good energy.
It's great because I'm trying not to be on Instagram. It's not on my phone anymore, but I like always want to share it with someone. It's like, who would appreciate this? I think the broads would. The ever-changing RBG altar.
And you would be right. Mm-hmm. Well, what about you, Colleen? What's your quarantine lining?
I think my quarantine lining has been, I think that one thing would be, one quarantine lining would be, I was able to finally like finish this office and get all set up here. I'm able to focus more stuff on, like more of my energy and attention on things that like, you know, like around the house. I've been able to, you know, also go outside and go for walks, and that's been really nice.
That's good.
Normal things. I sound terrible. Sorry.
No, not at all. It's like, I would agree with you that it's like, it's the little thing.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, that I now have a real workout routine where like before, if I got, you know, I would go to a workout class, which I miss dearly, like every Monday night. But a lot of times that was the only exercise, like real committed exercise I got all week. And now it's like, yeah, I'm not maybe getting as good of a workout, but I'm working out routinely 3 or 4 times a week, where I never would have the time to do that in my commuting life. So it's, it is for me, it is those little mundane moments where like, I just feel like I have more work-life balance.
Yeah.
I really like it.
I like that I don't have a commute too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that I can do so much from, like, you know, my basement, like, instead of having to, you know, get up and, like, okay, here's my quarantine lining. I like that I don't have to get up super early to go to get everybody ready and go to work. Because yes, I don't have to get myself ready.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I would agree with that. And I don't have to get anyone ready but myself and feed the cat. I had to do it today. I was like, God, I forgot how much this sucks.
Yeah.
Like, it is hard.
Yeah. Yeah. So definitely not having that pressure to get out the door by a certain time in the morning is, I think, like, that's a game changer for me.
Yeah.
But thank you, Ro. If anybody else out there has any hashtag Quarren linings, thebroadcasters3@gmail.com or 331-276-2373, let us know.
Yeah, please. I want to open that up. I want to hear other people's. I'm into this now.
I know. Matt has some hashtag Quarren reading. Death in Her Hands by Otessa Moshfe. It's about a widowed retiree living in the middle of nowhere who finds a mysterious note about a murder, but there is no body. Oh, I'm all in. As the book goes on, her imagination gets the best of her. She tries to figure everyone she encounters must be involved in the murder. A compelling satire of people who get way too wrapped up into true crime stories and consume them as if they are fictional entertainment. Same author wrote My Year of Rest and Relaxation about a well-off college graduate who decides to spend a year holed up in her apartment sleeping as much as possible. Maybe too perfect to read for this year. So Death in Her Hands is the recommendation. I might check that out.
Nice.
Oh, thank you.
I have heard of that other book, her first book.
My Year of Rest and Relaxation?
Yeah, yeah.
The privileged 2020 story.
Yeah, right.
Speaking of Matt, it's time for Matt's What She Said.
Since we said we're going to do it, I've been excited.
We can do it again.
I was willing to go till 10.
I clicked all the boxes.
Those are huge.
We got to see them, and it was my only experience with them.
I'm not touching it. I'm holding my phone. See, here's my hands.
One of us had come in from the back.
I'm giving you a note.
Jay came up with this idea to do it on the windows.
Oh. Cool. As soon as I was done, I let out this huge sigh.
Apparently my voting experience was very very erotic. He was very emotional doing it. That's what's Jay's.
Now my cheeks won't be chapped when we're done.
Oh, this was kind of a short list.
But it was good. It was short that but was satisfying.
Short but sweet. Those were all really quality.
Yeah.
All right. It's time for Butter Shemales. We have an Andy update. So let's get to it.
All right. Well, Andy writes in this week in Andy's whatever the hell this is. Hey, broads. So what's new? Anything going on? Well, besides the fate of our world coming down to the wire? I'm sure you're all stressed out and I wish I could offer some comfort. But maybe my usual nothing ever ends isn't really comforting as we face a long legal battle. Just
maybe.
Sending you some love and well wishes as this difficult time just keeps on going. On a lighter note, there have been a few rumblings on one of the dating sites I'm on. I've been keeping them up just in case and recently had some interest. I'm not sure where it's going yet, but we could use any good news we can get. Hashtag I'm 6 feet from hers, Andy.
That's awesome.
Nice. Nice. We look forward to hearing more.
That is really exciting.
Definitely agreed. We will take the wins
where we can. Here, yeah. Here.
Yeah, you have to keep us posted. And don't worry about the legal battle because honestly, I don't know if we're really in. I know that there's going to be suits filed, there's already been threats of one or whatever, but I don't think we quite have like a hanging Chad situation here, so
right. You're so burned.
So we just need the numbers.
Yep.
If the numbers are there, the numbers are there.
Yeah. Like, you can't just bring a case before, like, he can't, before the Supreme Court. He can't just be like, I'm taking you to court because I don't like how the votes turned out. Exactly. It doesn't work that way. So, but if Biden is declared the winner if he wins Pennsylvania and he wins Nevada and he wins Arizona and Father, Son, Holy Spirit, he wins Georgia. Like, if all of that stuff happens, like, I don't know how many, that's a lot of things to contest. And like, any normal president would probably just look at the writing on the walls and concede. But we don't have any normal president. And, you know, he might try, but
he's never lost anything in his life. I feel like his brain will actually liquefy.
You know something? I would be okay with that.
I would be too.
I mean, his brain is basically liquid mush anyway. His brain is like I don't even know. But like, yeah, I wouldn't be too worried yet. I know there's a lot of states that are on standby with legal teams. But I don't know if it would be a lengthy fight. And I don't even know, you know, at this point what something like that would look like. Like, they're trying to say that they're trying to say all sorts of stuff, but they're not presenting, like, it's like all anecdotal. Like, somebody in Michigan saw, or somebody in Georgia, or somebody somewhere saw like 5 ballots come in after the polls had closed and they threw it in the pile, so it shouldn't have been. And then like that polling place was like, nope, we straight up locked our shit down once the polls were closed. We didn't add anything to it. Like, where's your proof? Oh, somebody said that they saw it? Like, I'm sorry, it doesn't work like that.
Most judges will throw out these.
Hopefully. Well, we would hope.
Bogus claims.
There's a lot of Trump appointees at that level, and this is when packing the courts, which is what the Republicans have done for the last 10 years. This is where packing the courts has, or 4 years, I guess, 30-year operation. But this is where packing the courts really comes into play, is when you need something done like this. So, yes, that could be. It could be alarming. But I don't know if they would actually have the legal grounds other than just being sore losers throwing a temper tantrum.
Right. Well, and to be fair, what they have put up thus far, I think there's at least one case where like a Trump-appointed judge has denied.
Yes.
Denied the case.
Was that one of the Pennsylvania things, maybe?
I believe it was Pennsylvania. Yes. Yeah. Thank you.
So we'll see. We'll see how it plays out. But I wouldn't be too worried about a legal battle just yet, Andy. Let's see what happens first with the results.
Exactly. Got to win this thing first.
Yeah. Other than the big man baby, the big orange man baby throwing a tantrum. I know we started this show. I brought the tone. I will admit it, with a lot of dread. And I'm still, you know, not super okay, but I do feel a lot better talking it out when we started.
No, I get it. Like, I can't feel like at ease until I see 270, you know, like,
yeah.
And
we're not alone in that. I think so much of the country right now is feeling the same way. So
one might say 71 million.
Yeah.
Yeah. But on the other hand, 68 million, and he's only 100 votes away from 72 million, which would be fucking insane. So, The turnout in this election is just absolutely crazy. In North Carolina, 75% of the registered voters in North Carolina voted. 75%.
Wow.
Is that fucking insane or what?
I mean, isn't it usually, like, nationwide, isn't it usually, like, 48%?
It's, I don't even know if it's 48%.
Like, heartbreaking. Yeah. It's just, like, no, it's heartbreaking.
But, yeah. That's, I saw that data today, and it said 74 point something percent. It was, like, 74.4% of registered voters had voted, and if all, or the majority of the 118,000 absentee ballots come back in, it'll bring it up to 75%.
And see, that's the thing. It's like, I'm sure, you know, there are a lot of reasons for that. And I know, like, obviously a big one is the race itself. But I think it also goes to show you that, like, maybe we should adopt more of a, like, absentee for all type voting system, it makes it easier.
It does. Mm-hmm. And I think
instead of having roadblocks to voting, maybe we should make it easier.
Right.
We get more participation, and that's how things are supposed to work.
Right. Like
what
it or
a novel idea.
Right. Like it or not, the results, and obviously I don't like a lot of the results, but like it or not, democracy, you know, the whole point is everybody.
Right. One person, one vote.
Yeah.
One person, one vote. So voices are heard.
And I did think that was actually a Quorin lining was how many people were engaged to vote this year. And I do hope that maybe the groundwork is done, and maybe maybe next election cycle, there'll be even more people who are young people coming up.
And this is one of the things where I am totally also disappointed with you. I share in the disappointment of the general state of the Senate and the, you know, electoral map right now. Would we have imagined actually having any sort of chance in Texas and Florida? Like, would we have North Carolina, like Georgia? Mm-hmm. Would we have imagined these states being so close to a tipping point? So like, hopefully some of them still tip, but some of them that definitely haven't, like maybe Texas has a bright future.
Exactly. Like this could be the beginning of an upward trend.
Exactly. It's not lost, and it's not the end. Like, this is a stepping stone to potentially making some change.
I hope so. I hope so. I do. But we have to stay engaged. Can't just get complacent.
Yes, no,
have to make sure that people know that every single election has the same urgency as this one, because it might not be Trump on the ballot in 2024. It might be a junior, but like regardless of who it is, and it might be like a safe seeming Republican, one that they like, but also has shitty policies. But like, you never know. Like, it could be like Nikki Haley. Like, it could be, but the policies behind that are, it's always going to be the planet at stake. It's always going to be women's rights at stake. Louisiana voted that abortion is not a right. So abortion is on its way to being like completely outlawed in Louisiana. Like, there's still a lot at stake. So we might win the presidency, and that would be wonderful. But you know, it's still going to be an uphill battle, because there's still a lot. We lost House seats that were supposed to be, you know, safe. So, which was also a gut punch. So we haven't convinced anybody yet. There's a lot of disinformation out there. There's a lot of lies. So we can't. There's still no rest for the weary. It's still got to fight. It's probably going to be another years long fight. We just haven't have to take a deep breath, get a good night's sleep, and accept that.
Yep.
So onward.
But we got to win this presidential election.
Yeah, we do.
First thing first.
Yeah.
Still very nervous about that.
We can talk about future civic engagement after we nail down this election.
Exactly. All right. On that note, everybody, thank you for listening today. We appreciate it. We promise that next week we are going to have a much more lighthearted, fun show. It is my personal guarantee, something to take our minds off of everything. And then on Monday the 16th at 9 p.m., we will do our hopefully final broad topic of the year. I say hopefully again because I hope that we don't need to. but we hope that you will join us to unpack some of the election stuff and what you guys are all thinking. So if you had anything that you wanted to say while we were listening here, write it down and bring it with you on November 16th at 9 p.m. Eastern time. We also have Broadsgiving coming up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so we will do, on November 24th, we will do Broadsgiving. It'll be episode number 200. Yeah, I love that worked out for us. And then we'll come back for a couple weeks in December before we take our annual December 2 weeks off at Christmas time. So, all right, cool. Cool story, everybody. Good times. Thank you to the patrons. We appreciate you sticking with us. Thank you to the patrons that contribute a certain level, and that would be Tack from Tokyo, who is Tack formerly of Tokyo, Eckhart Rickner, Maggie the Magnificent, Joanne with a Plan, Greg the Gray, and Ed the Creepy Mailman. Thank you guys so much. We really appreciate it. We appreciate everybody, all the patrons. We appreciate everybody that's listening right now. Thank you so much. We would love to hear your feedback about this, about what you're thankful for, quarantining, anything. Just hit us up. We want to do something silly next week. I want to do something silly next week. I need to do something silly next week. So send us silly stuff. Paging JP. I know you will bring us silly stuff. All right. Yes, the broadcasters 3@gmail.com or 331-276-2373. Yeah, but I think that's all I have. Does anybody else have anything?
I don't believe I do.
All right. Well, all right, everybody. Deep breaths. Get a good night's sleep. It's not over. So
it's not over.
It's not over. Make some mozzarella sticks.
Or whatever equivalent you have in your house.
Yes.
And then eat them.
And then eat them. And then eat the mozzarella sticks. Make them and eat them. Marinara and ranch.
Yum. God, that sounds good.
I don't know about the marinara and ranch together.
You had me at the buffalo and the marinara. Oh no, that's even worse. The buffalo and the ranch.
I kind of want no buffalo and marinara. I feel like that'd be amazing.
I don't know. I will keep an open mind.
I've mixed salsa and buffalo sauce together. It's delicious on eggs.
Okay. Yeah. Well, Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Neither here nor there. All right, everybody. On that note, my name is Colleen.
My name is Amanda.
And I'm Shandy.
Peace out, everybody. Stay strong.
Stay strong.
Bye.
Bye.